by Tagubin. Hello, beloved, and thank you for joining us again for a moment, our 15 minutes, almost 14 minutes of Bible study together, as we're continuing to think about the importance of the Word of God, how essential, how necessary the Word of God is for we who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and even for those who do not know the Lord Jesus as Savior. It's the Word of God that will open their eyes to the truth. It's the Word of God that will convict them of their sin. It is the Word of God that is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even dividing the soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word is powerful, beloved, and God's Word will set you free. John 8:32, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What is the truth? In John 17:17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." In his prayer for you and me, as he was praying to the Father, that prayer is recorded in John 17. That's the true Lord's Prayer. The other prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer is actually a model prayer. It's a model that the Lord gave us to go by when we pray. But the Lord's Prayer is John chapter 17. And in John 8:36, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth shall make you free," in 8:32. And in 36, he said, "If you know the truth, ye shall be free indeed." Free indeed, in action, enabled to live a victorious, overcoming Christian life. And that's why, beloved, we need to get into the Word of God. That's why we need to get into the truth. The Word of God will set us free from the control of sin, from the dominion of sin, from sin ruling and running our life. And it teaches us about the living Word, which we've already studied is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the living Word who delivers from the power of sin. Now, if you will look with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6, we're going to discuss the deliverance that is already ours through the power of sin. Did you know that many believers have an identity problem? They do not know who they are. And we're going to be elaborating on that study later in our study of the truth of God's Word. But just briefly, we're going to touch on it here in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 23. First of all, the Bible tells us in verse 21 of chapter 5 that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, beloved. Grace reigns through righteousness by believing in and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, moves into our spirit to do the work of salvation, and we become a new creature in Christ Jesus, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 states. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. We become a new person. We gain a new identity. We were under the control and dominion of sin, a child of Satan, but now we're a child of God. Now we're born again. Now we've become a new person in Christ Jesus. We may look the same outwardly, although many times when a person's saved, they clean up the outside too. But inwardly is where this dramatic change occurs, and we are set free from the bondage and the dominion of sin. And that's what we're going to read about here. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. 1,000 times no, certainly not. how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, where did you die to sin, beloved? Where was it that you died to sin? Well, it's in our spirit that we died to sin and became alive unto the Lord God. You see, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened, are made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sin." It's in our spirit that we were dead to God and alive unto sin. We were born separated from God. We were born spiritually dead in trespasses and in sin. That's why every individual on the face of the earth needs the salvation that Jesus Christ offers. We need salvation from the bondage and control and dominion of sin, and we need to enter into the glorious liberty that is available through the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, verse 5 of Ephesians 2, the first part, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Oh yes, beloved, we're made alive by believing in the Lord Jesus and accepting Him as Savior. And so every person that's born is born spiritually dead. Dead to God, alive to sin. But when we accept Christ, we die to sin and become alive unto God. And so, beloved, get this truth fixed in your mind and in your thinking, that you are no longer what you once were, and no longer are you to live under the control and dominion of sin. Today you're to walk in righteousness. Today you're to live in Christ's likeness. Today you're to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" Now, last time we talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, where the Scripture tells us that by the Spirit of God we were immersed into the body of Christ. We were baptized into the body of Christ, as He's describing the body of Christ, and how that each one of us are members individually and have a part and have a place in the body of Christ and in our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's by the Spirit of God that we are immersed into Christ Jesus. And so water baptism simply is a picture and an example of what has already occurred within our spirit. That's what water baptism pictures. It pictures our death, our burial, and our resurrection with Christ. Water baptism cannot save you. It's simply putting the flesh under the water and bringing it up again. When I started dating my wife and we became engaged, she became a member of the Baptist Church. And she had never been scripturally baptized. And so she was immersed in water and brought up and was baptized. We went away to Bible college. There she realized that she was not truly a child of God, that she had not been genuinely born again. I remember so well the night that she accepted the Lord as her Savior after a youth rally. And I was shocked. I was amazed, because I thought that she was a child of God. The next Sunday morning, when she went forward to publicly confess Christ as Savior, the pastor's wife went forward and she said, "I've never been saved and I want to be saved. And I never heard anybody get dealt with the way that lady was dealt with." The pastor was as shocked as I was. And so he dealt with his wife in an unusual way. He said, "Janine, do you know what you're doing?" And so both he baptized his wife and I baptized my wife, because I was an ordained minister at that time also. And so we baptized our wives in the river there, because the church was a young church and didn't have a church baptistry. And so we see that only then did baptism mean what it's supposed to mean, because only then was she, having already accepted Christ and been immersed in the body of Christ, and only then did her baptism really have meaning. Previously, she had just gone under a dry center and come up a wet center. It hadn't really meant anything, because salvation is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so baptism has nothing to do with a person getting saved, that is, being saved. It has to do with a person having already receive Christ as their Savior, and it is a public act of identification, as the individual is publicly stating, "I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when Christ died, I died. When He was buried, I was buried. When He arose, I arose to walk in newness of life." And that's what verse 4 here tells us. "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now, beloved, you can jot down this reference if you have a pencil and paper handy, and you can read later how the believer is to live. This new life is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, through chapter 6, verse 18. There it talks about the believer's walk and the way we are to live this new life that we have now in Christ Jesus. And so we see that we are a new creation. We put our faith and trust in Christ. We've been obedient to Him, because He tells us the next step after we've accepted Christ as Savior is to follow Him in water baptism as a public testimony to the fact that we have died to the old life of sin and were buried and have come forth to walk in newness of life, to live for the glory, honor, and praise of Jesus Christ, that we are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And this is what verse 5 tells us. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection." Till next time, goodbye.